Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. It's been a few weeks since we brought these to you. With Halloween and everything, it just seemed like there's a lot of things getting in the way. Anyway, where we left off was we were talking about the great television westerns. I think in 1955 is when the first great television westerns came on to TV, and that would be Gunsmoke, Cheyenne, and The Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp. We already discussed those three, so I think the next great one was probably in 1957, Restless Gun. And Restless Gun is interesting to radio listeners because it is essentially The Six Shooter, which was, of course, starring Jimmy Stewart. We've already played them for you before. And wonderful, wonderful radio show. It came to television, and it lasted longer in television. It lasted two seasons, and they redo almost every episode from the radio show, and then they have a whole bunch of additional episodes, I think 78 total between the 2 years. The whole series is out on DVD, I think from Shout Factory, if I remember right. It's a nice set on a DVD, and definitely worthwhile getting that set. Very much enjoy the shows. It, of course, doesn't star John Wayne. doesn't star Jimmy Stewart. Instead, it stars John Payne, who was a movie actor coming over to television and did a really nice job in the role as well. Of course, I would have rather had Jimmy Stewart do it, but he did a fine job. Anyway, I think we've covered enough for today. I hope you enjoy these episodes of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel, and we'll see you next time.
Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield, made the modern way with Accuray. Smoother, cooler, best for you. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Most people think of Dodge City here in the 1870s as a wild, lawless town, swamped with exciting women and strong, daring men. The men they picture as fighters, the kind who stand up for almost no reason at all and gun each other down with as little regard for their own lives as they have for their opponents. Men whose courage is as raw and harsh as the prairies it's bred on. Well, this is the picture. But it isn't quite complete. We got our share of cowards, too. like the one whose work I ran into the night I found a note on my door. Said come up to Doc Adams' office as fast as I could.
Doc's in the back room, Mr. Dillon.
What's the trouble, Chester?
He's got Jack Massey in there.
Jack Massey?
That cowboy who looks up whenever he comes to town, you remember him. He always comes into the office and sits around and talks.
Oh, the red-headed fellow, you mean, huh?
It's been 6 months since we've seen him.
Oh, what's he doing up here? What's wrong?
Well, Doc, you better ask him.
Hello, Matt.
Doc?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, that poor
fellow. As soon as I saw him, I knew he couldn't make it. Not with a hole like that in him.
Doc, would you mind telling me what happened?
Somebody shot him, Matt.
Well, who shot him?
We don't know.
I was coming down the street, Mr. Dillon, and I heard a shot, and I run in and found him laying there on the floor, right where he fell out of the chair.
Out of what chair, Chester?
Why, yours.
Mine?
Yes, sir. Down in the office. He was waiting for you, I guess, and somebody sneaked in the back way and shot him.
But why?
He was shot in the back.
So?
Well, he was sitting in your chair, and we noticed he was wearing a hat, just like the one you wear. And also, he's about the same size as you. Somebody's out to kill you, Matt. To kill you the easy way.
Stop! Start smoking with a smile. With Chesterfield, smoother, cooler, milder, Chesterfield. Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try. Chesterfield's best for you, they satisfy.
If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. You'll notice how fresh and good Chesterfield's made with Accuray taste, how smooth they are, and how they satisfy. So buy Chesterfield today. Smoother, cooler, best for you.
This time of night?
Oh, just looking around, Kitty.
Well, there are a lot of men at the bar over there. You think you can pick him out?
What?
The man who thought he shot you tonight.
News travels fast, doesn't it?
I heard somebody was after you 2 days ago.
You did?
I figured it for talk. Didn't anybody tell you about it?
Well, I haven't been around much the last couple of days, Kitty, but even so, I guess it isn't the kind of talk people feel easy about passing on. That's a me, anyway.
I guess not.
You know who started it?
He did.
Who?
Coming this way.
What? Well, that's Ed Eby. What's he doing in Dodge?
You ought to drop around more often, Matt. He's been banking Faro here 3 or 4 days now.
Did Sam hire him?
Yeah. He's been doing fine, too.
Eby always was a smart gambler.
Hello, Marshal. Miss Kitty.
Ed?
Hello, Eby.
You mind if I sit down?
No, go ahead.
I've been meaning to come see you, Marshal.
Oh, is that so?
I heard about the shooting tonight.
Seems most everybody has.
I know something about it, Marshal. Would you like to hear?
Tell me.
Well, a couple of nights ago, I went out back to breathe a little fresh air. And I was standing out there in the dark around the corner in the alley. And I heard a couple of men come out. They couldn't see me, and I couldn't see them, but I heard one of them tell the other he was going to shoot Marshal Dillon. Shoot him any way he could.
Uh-huh. You're a little late telling me, aren't you, Evie?
I don't exactly owe you no favors, Marshal.
Then why did you bother to tell me at all?
Because I don't like killing, that's why. I hate killing. I've told you everything I know, Marshal. I'll be going now.
What's that all about, Matt? What's between you and Evie?
Oh, I knew him out in Santa Fe one time, Kitty. He was bullying the man, and I showed him up to be a coward. A lot of people witnessed it, and Evie never forgave me.
Well, then maybe his story's a lie. Maybe he's the one who did the shooting.
I don't think Ed Evie has the guts to shoot a man, even in the back.
Who is it, then? Haven't you any idea?
No. But there are a lot of men who'd like to see me dead.
I know.
I'd be willing to take my chances with anybody who'd face me. It's the man who shoots out of the dark I'm afraid of. Nobody wants to die. But it's even worse without a chance to fight back. That's what always made me feel especially bad about a man who broke his neck falling off a saddle, or who maybe disappeared in front of a stampede of buffalo, or who, like Jack Massey, sitting at my desk, had to take a bullet in the back. That's not dying. That's being slaughtered like a hog in a pen. Robs a man of everything he's lived for. And it made me mad. Made me so mad I lost my sense of caution. Like the night Chester and I were walking up Front Street after supper.
If I was in your boots, Mr. Dillon, I'd hie me out onto the prairie for a spell.
Oh, you wouldn't?
You bet I would. Out there, you can see a man coming a mile off.
I don't think he'd like that, Chester.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He'd never follow you out into the open. Not him.
Or them.
You think they might need more than the one?
Might be.
Doggone it, Mr. Dillon. Why don't you hire some men to hang around as a sort of a bodyguard? Then nobody would dare try ambushing you.
The sooner they try, the better, Chester. Get it over with one way or the other.
I wish I was as cool about it as you.
I'm not cool, Chester. I'm mad.
You sure got a funny way of showing it. Now, if I was mad, I'd be hopping around like a bronc with a burr under its tail. I'd be a-slouching and slurring with foam on my mouth.
Get out, Chester!
He's up there in the alley.
Yeah. I'm going after him.
Oh, I'm going with you.
You stay here.
No, by golly, not this time. No, sir.
Start shooting, mister. Start shooting while you got a chance.
I sure will.
He's by that barrel, Mr. Dillon. He's leaning on it.
Yeah, I see him.
I'll shoot you good.
Drop that gun!
Right up to him, Mr. Dillon, and he had a gun right in his hand.
He's drunk, Chester.
Did you knock him out?
Well, I hit him hard enough. Let's get him up to Doc's. We'll sober him up and find out what this is all about.
Don't put that cup down yet, fella. Not before you drink every drop of coffee in it.
I'm drowning in coffee, Doc.
I said drink it.
Yeah, there. No more, Doc. I'm sober now.
Yes, well. Matt.
Yeah, Doc.
He can talk straight now.
It's about time. What's your name, mister?
Nat Swan. But I didn't mean nothing, Marshal. I didn't know what I was doing. Honest, I didn't.
Then I'll tell you. You were trying to kill me.
No. No, don't. Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
You're a real coward, aren't you, Swan? Even to shoot me in the back, you had to take on a load of whiskey.
I got nothing against you, Marshal. I come to town and heard all that talk and thought I could make a name for myself if I'd done the shooting. Ain't no more to it than that.
No, listen, no more to it than that.
Well, nothing personal is what I mean.
I should have put strychnine in that coffee.
What are you saying, Doc?
Never mind, Doc. I believe you, Swan.
Oh, you do? Well, it's true. Honest it is.
Yeah, it's true, all right. And there are a lot of other drunken, brainless bums going to try it for the same reason. They've heard somebody's out to murder me, and they get to thinking, why shouldn't they do it and get the credit for themselves?
Well, no, man, no, it's not that bad.
It's already started, Doc. And there'll be others. Lots of them. As long as I last.
Listen. Listen to an electronic miracle. This electronic miracle, Accuray, means that everything from auto tires to apple pie, battleship steel to baby food, butter to cigarettes, can be made better and safer for you. Now meet Mr. Bert Choate, brilliant young president of Industrial Nucleonics. Bert, exactly what is Accuray?
Well, George, it is a device by which a stream of electrons passes through and analyzes the product while it is actually being made. They transmit what they see to this electronic brain, which adjusts the production machinery for errors down to millionths of an inch.
One more question, one that so many people ask me. How does Accuray make Chesterfield a better cigarette than was ever possible before?
Every cigarette made with Accuray control contains a more precise measure of perfectly packed tobaccos, so Chesterfield smokes smoother, without hot spots or a hard draw.
And that's why Chesterfield tastes so much better. And I guess that's why you smoke them yourself, Bert.
You see, I know what Accuray can do.
Well, there's your answer. If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. Best for you.
Chester and I rode Nat Swan down to the Arkansas. Told him to get his horse across and to keep going. I guess he thought I was about to shoot him the way he rode off, all hunkered up in the saddle, trying to look small. And I was pretty sure he'd never show up in Dodge again. Yeah, that'd be one less glory hunter to deal with. But the thought of how many were left waiting in the alleys, hiding in the shadows, well, it made me jumpy. But I didn't realize how bad off I was until we got back into town, rode into the stable. We put our horses into their stalls and were walking toward the door.
This barn's plumb deserted tonight, Mr. Dillon.
It's late, Chester. Everybody's either drunk or in bed by now.
Well, there's somebody who ain't. Hey, what's he doing with that rifle?
Here, duck into the stall, Chester.
He's seen us.
All right, drop the rifle, mister.
Not likely.
Drop it, I say.
No.
He's going to shoot. You got him.
You stay back, Chester.
Don't shoot. Don't shoot again.
Pick up his rifle, Chester.
I got it.
Last you, mister. You put a bullet in my lung.
Who are you?
I've never seen him before.
Why do you care who I am? You've gone and killed me, that's what you done.
Why were you after me? Somebody hire you? Tell me.
You shoot a man down, and then you try to blame it on him.
Maybe he wasn't after you.
I ain't after nobody. I come for my horse, that's all.
I think he's telling the truth, Mr. Dillon.
Dillon? You're the marshal.
Who did you think I was?
I heard talk somebody was out to shoot you. It wasn't me. I was just trying to get home to Texas. I ain't gonna make it now.
Well, I heard you lever your rifle, mister. You're about to shoot.
I thought I was being held up. The way you hollered at me.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Dillon. He ain't got nothing to do with this.
Of course I ain't. If I was you, Marshal, if there's talk about somebody after me, I'd find out who's making the talk. I wouldn't go around shooting innocent people. Somebody's got you outsmarted.
We'll get you up to Doc's, mister. He'll take good care of you.
Don't bury me in a blanket, Marshal. Fix me a box, will you? Promise me you'll fix me a box.
Yeah. Yeah, I promise.
I can't swallow no more. I'm gonna drown.
Well, I killed an innocent man, Chester.
Well, he'd have shot you if you hadn't, Mr. Dillon.
They don't even know his name. But we'll fix him a box. We'll fix him a good one.
Yes, sir.
Then I'm going to do something else, he said.
What's that?
I've been outsmarted. He was right. But I know what I'm doing now. Kitty.
You're looking for somebody.
You bet I am.
Trouble?
Now the trouble's over. Or it soon will be.
If there's gonna be a fight, they don't need me in this saloon.
I'd be mighty surprised if there is a fight, Kitty.
Huh?
Cowards don't carry guns.
Ed Eby.
I'll see you later.
Here comes the split, gentlemen. You care to string along? Well, Marshal Dillon, you gonna try your luck?
My luck ran out about an hour ago, Evie.
What?
I shot and killed an innocent man.
What are you talking about, Marshal?
You were too cheap to hire somebody to get me, Evie, and too much of a coward to try it yourself.
I don't like that
word. Your story about overhearing that talk out back. You spread it around, hoping it'd give some brainless fool the idea to try it himself.
Now, that's a lie.
Two men tried it. And they made me so jumpy, I just killed a man I thought was going to try it again. Well, I feel pretty bad about that, Evie.
I got nothing to do with it.
You told me the story thinking it'd make you look innocent. Now, you outsmarted me, Evie. For a while.
You can't prove any of this.
I don't have to. Now, come on.
You can't arrest me.
No. Then I'm going to lock you up, and tomorrow I'm going to run you out of town.
No.
Two innocent men have died because of your cowardice, Evie. I wish I could hang you for it.
Don't you call me a coward.
You're the worst coward I ever saw.
Shut up. You stop saying it. You're doing just what you did out in Santa Fe.
Come on, Evie.
I'll show you I'm not a coward. You won't call me that anymore.
Take your hand out of your pocket, Evie.
I got a gun in here. I'll kill you myself.
No, you won't. You're not going to draw that gun.
Yes, I am.
Not you, Evie.
I'll do it.
Not you, Evie.
I'll kill you.
Just keep talking, Evie. Keep talking.
Why didn't you shoot him, Matt? You had a right to.
I think he wanted me to, Kitty.
What?
I think he'd rather be dead than face everybody knowing what a coward he is. Well, he's got his punishment coming. For the rest of his life.
Stop. Start smoking with a smile. Chesterfield, smoother, cooler, milder, Chesterfield. Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try.
Chesterfield's best for you,
they satisfy.
Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. Smoother, cooler, best for you.
Thank you.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, John Daner, and Jack Edwards. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. L&M, America's best filter tip cigarette.
Be sure and listen to Gunsmoke again on radio next week at the same time. Transcribed for Chesterfield.
The people of a town don't form committees and go around shooting men for the reasons you've given me. It doesn't make sense.
Have gun, will travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Good morning, hey boy.
I was just coming up to your room.
Well, I decided to have breakfast in the dining room this morning.
Oh, yes, a telegram come for you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, what's the matter with your neck? Why do you keep rubbing it?
Oh, hey, boy, I miss you want to go for a walk in moonlight last night.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Oh, we go looking for falling stars, hold heads back too long, get a stiffy neck.
Miss Wong, too?
Oh, Isa.
Well, was it worth it? Did you see any falling stars?
Hey, Isa, one.
Did you make a wish?
Wish?
Yeah. It's an old custom. When you see a falling star, you make a wish, and it's supposed to come true.
Oh, how? Hey, boy, not know this. Must look again. I have many wishy to make.
Yes, well, not too long at a time, hey, boy. You might wind up with your head in a permanent stargazing position.
Oh, you sir. You send answer to telegram?
Oh, yeah, let's see. Need your help. They're going to murder my friend Sam Crow. Hurry, signed, Skeeter Hickshaw.
Who?
Skeeter Hickshaw, hey boy, an old prospector friend of mine.
Oh, he sounds very upset.
Hey boy, when Skeeter sends a telegram for help, he's not only upset, he's desperate.
Most
Most Americans are proud of their country and of its high standard of living. Today, we have more leisure time, more extensive and better highways and recreational facilities than ever before. We're also proud of our country's scenic beauty. But do we always remember to keep it beautiful? Whenever we throw fruit skins, candy wrappers, or tissues from an automobile window, or leave a pile of litter at the beach, in a park, or along a stream, we are actually destroying the country's beauty. What's more, we're endangering health and safety. A piece of paper thrown from the window of one car can blow against the windshield of the automobile behind it and cause an accident. Objects lying half hidden in grass or in the sand at the beach are safety hazards. Won't you help keep America clean and beautiful? Here's how. Carry a litter bag in your car for travel trash and always dispose of litter in a proper receptacle. This is your country. Take care of it so you'll continue to be proud of it.
Skeeter Hickshaw lived in the small town of Hamburg, near the Oregon border. He was one of the lucky few miners who had managed to save enough money from prospecting to retire in a reasonably comfortable manner. I had first met him some years before in Nevada. We became good friends, and it wasn't long after that when he gave up prospecting and settled down to a life of relaxation. It was late afternoon when I finally arrived at his place in Hamburg. Hey, what?
Yeah, I ain't gonna miss next time, mister.
Hey.
So you just climb back in that saddle and move out.
Hey, Skeeter, is that you?
You heard what I said. Now get.
Now, hold on. It's me, Paladin.
I don't care who. Who? Paladin. Oh, well, why didn't you say so? So come on in.
Are you sure it's safe?
Well, of course it's safe. God dang you. It's about time you got here, too.
Hi, Skeeter.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. Come on in.
You shoot at everybody that comes to your place?
Oh, now, you know I didn't know that as you. No, I figured it was some shifty character they'd hired to get Sam.
Yeah, what's this all about, Skeeter?
Why, Dad, they're fixing to shoot him, that's what. But they ain't going to get away with it, the god dang fools, no siree. I tell you, I would engage you. You, oh, now, see there? Look at me getting all riled up already. Now, I ain't even seen you in a coon's age. Yeah, grab yourself a chair there, Paladin. I got some coffee going, if you can stand it.
Why not? I always said your coffee was a test of a man's strength, and after being shot at, I want to see if I've got any left.
Yeah, sure. You ain't changed none at all since I last seen you.
Oh, I've changed. We all do, Skeeter.
Yeah, well, you ain't lost your shooting eyes, have you? I say you ain't lost that, because that's what I'm going to need.
Yeah, why do you need me, Skeeter? Who is this friend of yours somebody's after?
Sam Crow, and he is the best dang friend I ever had.
Fine, but what's his problem?
Oh, they formed a stinking committee, that's why. I say that's what, and they aim to shoot Sam.
Why? What's he done that's so bad?
Nothing. Leastwise, nothing that deserves him being shot.
Well, he must have done something, Skeeter. What was it?
He took a few things here and there.
He took a few things? Like what?
Well, you know, jewelry and things. Oh, but folks always get everything back. Yeah, I say, I always give it back.
You always give it back?
Yeah, Sam brings the stuff here, so I give it back.
All right, your friend Sam is a thief. Now, what else?
That's all, I tell you, that's all. Oh, well, except maybe he does kind of cuss at the ladies a little.
Cuss at the... Skeeter, nothing you've said makes any sense. The people of a town don't form committees and go around shooting men for the reasons you've given me.
Yo, well, they do in this town, and it ain't the town's people. It's the town's women.
Women?
Yeah.
You mean this committee you're talking about is made up of women?
Oh, they are the ordinariest bunch of females I have ever seen.
Now, look.
I tell you, Paladin, I ain't never seen nothing like it. Just a passel of busybodies. That's what they
Skeeter,
are.
Skeeter.
I ain't never shot a woman before, but I'm sure enough thinking about it now. I tell
Skeeter.
You, honey.
Skeeter.
Huh?
Will you calm down a minute?
Oh, calm down a minute. How would you feel if your best friend was going to be shot?
Well, maybe he won't be shot. Now, there's got to be more to this than you're telling.
But there ain't, I tell you.
Right, where is this friend of yours? Is he hiding out somewhere?
Hiding? Heck no. He's right in the next room.
In the next room? Well, get him in here. Maybe if I hear his side of it, this whole thing will make some sense.
I have told you everything there is to tell.
Just get him in here, will you, Skeeter?
Oh, sure. Paladin, you're just as stubborn as you ever was.
Close the door! Oh,
what the...
Now, come here, Sam. Come here. That's your boy. Now, Well, here he is, Paladin.
You mean this?
Shoot him! Shoot him, tell you!
Is it a crow? Sam Crow is a bird?
Well, I never said he wasn't.
All the way from San Francisco, you make me come all the way from San Francisco because you were worried about a bird?
Daddy, he ain't a bird. He's Sam Crow, and he's my friend.
Skeeter, it took me 4 days of hard riding to get here. 4 days, and all because I thought you needed my help.
Well, I do need your help, but you can gall dang well get if that's the way you feel about
it. Well, maybe I will.
Well, go on then. See if I care. Say, see if I care. What do you know about friends? How would you know about how I found this poor critter lying outside all broke up and hurt and how I fixed him up? And then I learned him how to talk and all. Say, learn him how to talk. I'll tell you something, Paladin. All my life I've been lonely. But with Sam, I ain't lonely no more. That's the kind of friend he is.
Skeeter, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he meant that much to you.
Well, he does.
Well, now tell me, who is in charge of this women's committee that wants to shoot Sam? I think I'll have a talk with her tomorrow.
No, oh, it won't do no good. I tried talking to her.
What's her name, Skeeter?
Pennybrook. Mrs. Maud Pennybrook. I guess there's something else you should know.
What's that?
Well, Mrs. Pennybrook seems to have an in particular special hate for Sam Crow. And I guess cause Sam keeps calling her by a special name.
What's that?
Well, guess it ain't very nice, but... Oh, there's no need for me to repeat it in front of him now.
Oh, yeah, I see. Now, who taught him this special name in the first place?
I did, but I've been trying to unteach him ever since, but he doesn't want to change.
Yeah, I understand. And I can't say I really blame this Mrs. Pennybrook for being offended.
Ain't no cause to shoot him.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
The next day, when I went to Mrs. Pennybrook's house, a committee meeting regarding Sam Crow was in progress. When I introduced myself and told the ladies I was there in behalf of Skeeter Hickshaw, the reception I got was anything but friendly, although I did notice one little lady they called Winifred who seemed more curious than angry. I tried to explain to the committee that Sam Crow was more than just a pet to Skeeter, and perhaps something could be worked out other than shooting the bird. However, my plea was met with cold stares, and from Mrs. Pennybrook, some harsh words.
Paladin, huh? You look like a gunfighter to me. Is that what you are, a gunfighter?
Mrs. Pennybrook, I came here to try to find a solution to a problem, not to discuss personality.
Well, the only solution is to kill that bird, and that's just what's going to happen.
Yes,
but...
Maud, I think it's only fair that we listen to Mr. Paladin's suggestion.
Well, that's fine for you to say, Winifred Merriwell. That thieving crow hasn't stolen anything from you.
Oh, now that isn't so. Just the other day he flew in through my window and took a bracelet off the bureau, but I got it back. Mr. Hickshaw always gives everything back.
Well, I'll wager his precious bird doesn't swear at you every time you walk down the street.
Oh, I've heard my share. After all, Mr. Hickshaw and Sam spend a certain amount of time in the saloon. It's only natural the bird would pick up some undesirable language.
Now, you listen to me, Winifred. We've already decided that crow has to be removed. So if you don't agree, then you can just retire from the committee.
Yeah, that's right. But... Well, I think it's silly. That poor bird doesn't know he's doing wrong.
Well, we all know it.
Ladies, Mrs. Pennybrook, let's be reasonable, shall we?
Reasonable? Is that what Skeeter Hickshaw was when he hired a gunfighter like you to protect that silly crow?
Mrs. Pennybrook, he didn't hire me.
Well, you're here, aren't you?
Well,
just let me tell you something, Mr. Paladine, or whatever your name is. If Skeeter Hickshaw can get someone like you, then so can we, and we'll do it. Just mark my words, we'll do it.
Now, shut up, Sam.
Shut up! Shut up!
I'm sorry, Skeeter. I tried.
Gail, I told you 'twere no use talking. Them busybodies just ain't gonna listen.
Oh, there was one who wanted to listen.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Her name was Winifred Merriwell.
Well, is that a fact? Well, what do you know about that?
Look, Skeeter, couldn't you take Sam out of town for a while? Just long enough till things cool down?
No, sir. God dang it. No, sir. I got a right to keep Sam, and I aim to do it. There ain't nobody gonna be... Well, I'll be...
What's the matter?
Look at there. Here comes that Mrs. Pennybrook, and there's a man with her.
Yeah, so I see. He's carrying a gun, too.
Well, you damn stinking old biddies. They went out and hired a gunfighter.
Yeah. You stay here, Skeeter. I'll go out and talk to them.
No, sir. Me and Sam, we'll go with you.
Well, all right. Suit yourself.
Well, Mr. Hickshaw, Are you ready to give up that crow peacefully, or do we have to take it by force?
Ain't nobody gonna take Sam.
Old Biddy! Take it, old Biddy!
You see, he always talks that way.
Yeah, how about it, mister? You gonna make me shoot that crow right off your shoulder?
That wouldn't be very smart.
Oh? I suppose you're the one they call Paladin, huh?
That's right.
And my name's Turlock. Wiley Turlock.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
You ever hear me?
Should I have?
Most folks around here know the name. They consider it kind of unhealthy to argue with me.
Oh?
Now, Mrs. Pennybrook here, she and that ladies' committee hired me to shoot him a crow. And I aim to do it.
And you better aim at something else, Turlock.
Hey, now. Guess you didn't hear real clear what I said, Paladin.
You know what I think, Turlock? I think you're full of a lot of talk. And that's all.
Told you, mister, folks hereabouts don't consider it healthy to go against me.
Well, I don't happen to be from around here, Turlock. So if you've got any notions about shooting Sam Crow, you better figure on drawing on me first.
Look.
No, don't you let him talk to you like that, Mr. Turlock.
No, shut up, lady.
What?
How about it, Turlock? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, suppose you just turn around and get out of here before you get in real trouble.
Now, don't listen to him.
Now, there ain't no sense having a shootout over a little bird.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
I'm leaving.
Mr. Turlock! You come back here! Come back here this instant, do you hear?
He's not coming back, Mrs. Pennybrook.
Well, I never.
Old Biddy! Take it, old Biddy!
That bird! That nasty black bird!
Well, his manners ain't the best, Mrs. Pennybrook, but just because he swears a little, and just because he stole some of your jewelry, ain't no reason to try and shoot him.
Oh, that bird is a thief, Skeeter Hickshaw, and he'll be punished just like any other criminal. I tell you, he will. You mark my words!
Over three decades of travel, keen observing, frontline reporting of virtually every world crisis, and a natural-born flair for word artistry, these are the prime assets of one of the great veterans of CBS News, Mr. Lowell Thomas. Monday through Friday evenings, Lowell Thomas offers the latest news in detail and depth, plus his own witty, seasoned comment on each story. There's no substitute for experience, indeed no substitute for Lowell Thomas when it comes to news in full sound color. On CBS Radio and this station.
Well, where the gol dang heck have you been?
Trapping.
Trapping?
Trapping.
What's that you got there?
That, Skeeter, is a crow.
Huh?
A wild crow.
Well, what did you trap him for?
Remember I told you about Winifred Merriwell and how she was on your side at the committee meeting the other day?
Yes, but I don't see...
Well, I talked to her yesterday and she told me Mrs. Pennybrook had gone over to Horse Creek and picked up a court order.
What kind of a court order?
One that declares Sam Crow a public nuisance.
Well, up all the low-down, miserable, goddamn tricks I ever heard of.
Now, just calm down. Maybe we can save Sam yet.
Well, how are you going to do it? Just how?
Well, that's why I trapped this wild crow. We're going to switch him with Sam.
Switch him? What good's that? I get you. When that old Biddy comes in with a court order, we'll give her this here wild bird instead of Sam.
That's it exactly, Skeeter.
That's pretty smart, pal. Did I say yes, sir? Pretty smart.
Now, the only thing is, we're going to have to move Sam out of here for a while.
Now, hold on. I told you before, I ain't going to do that.
Even if we leave him with Winifred Merriwell? She offered to keep him for you for a while.
No, I don't like it. Sam ain't used to females.
Well, maybe it'd be good for Sam to be around a woman for a while. Skeeter, he might learn some decent language.
Well, I suppose he could stand that right enough.
Who knows? He might even learn to give up stealing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be something. All right, Paladin, I'll do her. I'll let that Winifred Merriwell take care of Sam for a while. But just a while, mind you.
Good. Now, where's we...
Skeeter Hickshaw!
Yo, Skeeter Hick, that sounds like old Pennybrook.
You come outside and bring that nasty bird with you. I have something to show you.
Where's Sam, Skeeter?
He's locked up in the next room.
All right, we'll leave him there for now. Here, you carry this cage with a wild crow.
Yeah.
You heard me. Skeeter Hickshaw, get out here.
Of course I hear you, you goddamn female. Everybody in town can hear you.
Well, what's that you got?
It's the crow. You yelled at me to bring him out, didn't you?
Well, why is he in a cage? He's never been in a cage before.
Where's the rest of your busybody committee? I don't see him, Norris.
Well, I'm the chairman, so it's my duty to do what has to be done. Besides, I got a court order to get rid of that old crow.
We all know about that.
Very well, then, since you know, are you prepared to let me shoot the bird?
Sure.
What?
I said sure. What's the matter, you deef?
There's something strange here.
Look, you got the court order and you brung a gun. Now you're going to shoot the goddamn crow, ain't you?
Well, I still say there's something strange. You're too eager.
Mrs. Pennybrook, there's just one thing.
Oh?
Since this poor bird has to be shot, I think it'd be only fair to take him out of his cage, let him sit on the porch rail. That way he can die where he's happiest.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. Put him there if you want.
That's very kind of you. Skeeter, let him out.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, he's flying away!
Well, you better hurry up and shoot. You ain't a very good shot, are you?
You knew that crow would fly away. You know it!
Oh, now, you got the court order, Mrs. Pennybrook, so you're welcome to take a pot shot at that crow anytime you see him flying around. Yes, sir. Say, just any time at all. Ain't that right, Paladin?
Oh, the law says she's got that right.
Oh, you crusty old man.
You better practice up on your shooting, you old biddy. Yeah, I tell you. Oh, yeah, that did my heart good.
Well, I don't think your troubles are over, Skeeter. When she finds out that Sam Crow is still around, it'll start all over again.
Yeah, golly, you're right. What am I going to do?
As I said before, why don't you take him over to Winifred? Maybe she has a suggestion.
Uh-huh. Why don't you go over and talk to her?
Oh, not me, Skeeter. I think I've had enough of Sam Crow. No offense, mind you, but I do have to get back to San Francisco.
Mr. Paladin?
Hmm? Oh, good evening, Miss Wong.
Someone is looking for you, sir.
Oh?
A hay boy tried to find you in dining room. A Missy Wong tried to find you in lobby.
Well, it looks like you're the winner, Miss Wong.
Winner,
now, who wants to see me?
Oh, old gentleman, sir, with whisker.
Old gentleman with whiskers.
Yes, sir. He carrying a bird on shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Carrying a bird?
Yes, sir.
Carrying a bird.
Hey, Bert Paladin.
Oh, there he is, sir. Excuse, please.
Oh, Paladin, God dang you.
Skeeter.
Yeah, I've been looking all over for you.
Well, what the devil are you doing in San Francisco? I left you in Hamburg 4 weeks ago.
Well, what's the matter? Can't a fella come into big city once in a while?
Well, sure, but...
Big city!
Well, I see Sam's still alive. Did his visit with Winifred Merriwell help his language any?
Oh, yeah, it helped that right now. Yeah, and it helped his stealing, too.
Oh, well, then everything worked out fine.
Oh, it did. I say it did, huh? Well, let me tell you something. This gall-dang bird got to liking that female.
Oh?
Yes, he got to liking her so much he didn't want to come back to my place with me. And after all I'd done for him, too.
Well, how did you get him back?
How did I get him back?
Yeah.
what do you think I'm in San Francisco for? I'm on my honeymoon, that's what.
The honeymoon?
Yes, you're gall dang right. That's the only way I could get this bird back. Sure, I had to marry Winifred.
Married her!
Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
That reminds me of a tip I've been meaning to give you. Whenever you buy Pepsi-Cola, get an extra carton. This is the secret of effortless entertaining. You know by now that as the parties go, so goes the Pepsi. So face reality and be ready for any number of thirsts by making sure there's always plenty of the light refreshment on hand. People go for Pepsi because it refreshes without filling and does it in such a good-tasting way. Come to think of it, why not buy a case of Pepsi? Then maybe there'll be enough for you to have some, too.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, he is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Irene Tedrow, Jack Moyles, Shirley Mitchell, John James, and Forrest Lewis. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.